Here we are again with our ninth podcast covering the Heidelberg Catechism. So let's jump right in. Last week we looked at question six, and we touched on what the history of the church is called the problem of evil. And if you remember, we got there because the catechism asked this question: did God create people so wicked and perverse? And so we took a minor detour and looked at other tough questions that stem from that one, and I hope it was a blessing to you. And so the answer to that question was no, God created them good and in His image, that is, in true righteousness and holiness, so that they might truly know God, their Creator, love Him with all their heart, and live with God in eternal happiness, and to praise and glorify Him. Question and answer seven then ask, then where does this corrupt human nature come from? So the Catechism tells us, no, God did not create them wicked and perverse, meaning humans, meaning Adam and Eve. And so the next logical question is, well, then what happened? What went wrong? Because it's totally clear that the whole creation is groaning, that everything that we see with our eyes is decaying or going to decay, that humans are corrupt, that sin abounds. What exactly went wrong? Well, the answer is the fall and disobedience of our first parents, the Catechism says, and goes on to say, Adam and Eve in paradise. This fall has so poisoned our nature that we are all conceived and born in a sinful condition. Again, that says, the fall and disobedience of our first parents, Adam and Eve in paradise. This fall has so poisoned our nature that we are all conceived and born in a sinful condition. So that's the answer to the question, then where does this corrupt human nature come from? The sin, that sin, the fall, the original sin has brought all this on. And you know the story. Genesis 3, 1 through 6, it can probably never be said enough. Verse 1 says, now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. The serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Paul sums it up in Romans 5:12 that, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men. Why? Because all sinned. Because all sinned. Romans 5:18, just a few verses later. So then, as through one transgression, there resulted condemnation to all men. So fundamental to Christianity is the understanding of that answer. That do you believe the fall and disobedience of our first parents, Adam and Eve in paradise, has so poisoned our nature that we are all conceived and born in this sinful condition? Some quote-unquote Christians claim that they do not have the corrupt nature from Adam and Eve. They were never given that. They were just blank slates when they came into this world, and by their own personal decision or by the example of others, they accidentally sinned. And some believe that, yeah, they have this nature that the Bible talks about, but God gives everybody a special grace to kind of come out of that nature. Scripture says plainly, Psalm 51:5, just like our answer said, that behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Psalm 58:3, the wicked are estranged from the womb, those who speak lies go astray from birth. Jeremiah 17:9, I should say, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? Those texts are clear. They're clear. From birth, you have a nature that you have inclinations, you have desires, you have a pull, you're bent towards sin. You're not bent towards goodness. You don't have a desire to, you're good to be more powerful than your bad. No, your bad, your sin that's in you is a strong pull, and it pulls in the wrong direction. And you have that from birth. And then as you live your life, of course, you will then commit personal sins all the time. But those personal sins stem from an inclination, a desire to go against your Creator, to be all about you in a way, and to try to consume all the glory for yourself and to keep glory from God. So this fall has so poisoned our nature that we are all conceived and born in a sinful condition. And how you view the fall is very, very important, because it sets your Christian theology on one of three different tracks. Because the fall is one of the first things, of course, Genesis 3 is one of the first things you're going to come to when you're trying to figure out this Christianity thing. And whatever you decide on the fall is going to put you in one of three categories. And next week, we're going to look at that a little bit more, of what the different categories would be based on how you believe the fall. But since we have sinned in our federal head, Adam, that then makes us qualify for Christ, our new federal head, to die in our place to redeem us from the fall. When Adam fell, we fell. And so when Christ came to the earth to live the perfect life and die the substitutionary sacrificial death, all those who believe will benefit from this new and better Adam. So you fall in Adam, die in Adam, Christ comes, you live in Christ, you die in Christ, you rise in Christ. And I think this is a helpful point, that to understand the nature, that your sin nature is tied with Adam, but when you're born again, as we'll learn next week, you now have the nature, a new nature, a nature that's bent towards loving God and loving your neighbor, but you still, of course, have the fight against sin. Another helpful point in this question, I think, is to understand what the history of the church has taught from since the 4th century, when Augustine put together, he summed up, I guess you could say, humanity, and it would be from Adam's creation, Adam's fall, to our nature after salvation, to how we will be in heaven. And he summed it up in four different ways. And there's Latin words, of course, to each one of these, but they're simply put, number one, Adam and Eve were able to sin, and then they were also able not to sin. So they were able to sin and able not to sin. Well, when they sinned, that then put the rest of the human race in a different category. Now, number two would be not able not to sin. We're not able not to sin. If you're an unregenerate man from Adam and Eve, you are not able not to sin. Well, the third category is able not to sin. Able not to sin. So that would be regenerate man. And then number four, unable to sin. And so again, let's look at it one more time. Number one, able to sin, able not to sin. This is the first state of man, and it corresponds with Adam and Eve. Man in his innocence before the fall. Adam and Eve were both able to sin and not to sin. They had the ability and the nature to do that. The second state, again, is not able not to sin. This is natural man after the fall. You only sin continually. Anything done with outside of faith is sin. So before regeneration, you're only going to sin continually. The third state of man is able not to sin. This is regenerate man. This is born again man. This is when God makes you born again. He puts life into you. And that's when you enter this third state that Augustine describes as able not to sin. And fourthly, unable to sin. One day when born again humans are brought home to heaven, we will then be in a state of unable to sin. We won't even have the ability nor the desire to even sin. And what a glorious day that will be. So where does this corrupt human nature come from? Where does our total depravity find its roots? Well, that's with Adam and Eve at the fall. And with that nature, sin comes to us naturally, and then we are condemned based on our personal sin that we have committed. But as we'll continue to see from this catechism, Christ is our only answer to such a problem. And so since we are found in our federal head, Adam, and from our first birth, we have to be born again. We have to be under Christ's federal headship. And once we are given the benefits of everything that Christ has accomplished on our behalf, just like when we were under Adam's failure. So if you don't like being counted with Adam's sin, then don't expect to be counted with Christ's righteousness. They come hand in hand. And God has it set up that way so he can receive all the glory from bringing you, poor sinner, bringing you from that to glorious saint. And that's all of his grace and nothing in us. So praise God for such wisdom and such love. And so next week, Lord willing, we will look at question 8 to see if we are so corrupt that we are totally unable to do any good and inclined toward all evil. I hope you have a blessed week.